Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's time for the latest episode of In Conversation with Lee Ryder, the Chronicle Live's chief Newcastle United writer. And the question, the topic, the subject this week is a very simple one, although the answer might not be as simple as the question. And it is Alexander Isak the greatest Newcastle United striker in Lee's time covering Newcastle United? And for those that don't know, Lee's been in the job since 2005. He's seen some fine strikers in the black and white of Newcastle United. Lee, before I ask you about Alexander Isak, just sum up to our listeners and our viewers, what makes a great Newcastle United striker?
Yeah, I mean, it's about consistency, isn't it? I think that's what we're all looking for. It's always that player that you can rely on, you know, dig deep when things aren't going so well. And for me, there's been some great examples of that over the years. You know, I think nobody can, you know, stray too far away from Alan Shearer, from what he brought to the table as a player. And it's, for me, it's the main thing is when the chips are down, who's going to be the player that hauls you back into the game? And, you know, Alan Shearer done that in my sort of lifetime. And I think he really set the standards for Newcastle. And, you know, I was lucky enough to cover the very last chapter of his career. And that was at the start of when I was covering Newcastle. And those standards still stand up to anything we've seen so far.
Do you think the fact that Alan Shearer was so good, you know, the Premier League's record goal scorer, the club's record goal scorer, does that shadow kind of hang over the players who have come since? Or do you think they look at it and think, he was something special, I'm good, but I don't really need to worry about how good he was because no one's probably ever going to match that?
Well, it's a big ask to match Alan Shearer. I mean, what you know when you know, without sort of buttering anybody up or anything like that, what you know with Alan Shearer is if you're in a room with Alan Shearer, you are in the room with someone who's probably like a living legend who's going to be talked about in the next 100+ years. You know, we've got the statue of him already, and, you know, everything around the club, you know, standards, records, what he did for the club, because he could have left. I mean, Rudolph did his best to make him leave, and thankfully he stayed. But I think really, I think Newcastle have got such a massive legacy there with Alan Shearer, and not just Newcastle, but the Premier League as well. I think that he is probably one of the big icons of the Premier League around the world. When people talk about Premier League football, you know, his name's going to crop in the conversation without a shadow of a doubt. Right around the globe, everyone knows who Alan Shearer is. So that's what Newcastle actually had for those 10 years. And I think any player coming in, one of the first things they get asked, especially strikers, is, you know, what's your sort of knowledge on Alan Shearer? And yeah, I mean, his record stands up to everybody's.
It certainly does. And we're going to talk specifically about the players that you've covered in your time, but we talk about Alan Shearer setting the bar. But it's amazing when you think of the players who are maybe just the next level down. You're talking about your Les Fernandes, your Andy Cole, absolutely superb Premier League strikers, you know, in that 100 club in the Premier League, and yet didn't quite reach the heights of Alan Shearer. And that just reminds you of what players have got to achieve. They want to emulate the legends of Les Fernandes and Andy Cole, but then the next level of Alan Shearer as well.
Well, that's it. I mean, is anyone going to get more than 206 goals, you know, in our lifetime? And, you know, for that to happen, someone's going to have to stay here for at least a decade, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, maybe they might get it done. But that's what you asked. It's a bit like the Premier League record Alan Shearer's got, that Harry Kane's been trying to chase before he went to Germany. So that's kind of the legacy that he's left. I think that it's been said before that it'll never be beaten, but it would take a big ask and a lot of commitment as well. I mean, that's the reason Alan Shearer's got that record, is because he was committed. You know, he stayed at Newcastle. He arrived at Newcastle when they were flying at the height of the entertainers era, and he came here because the club was ambitious. But that ambition quickly sort of dipped away. And he suddenly found himself playing for a very average Newcastle team very quickly in his career. All the stars left. Ginola left. Peter Beardsley went. Asprilla went. They all disappeared. And he was, you know, the main man for a good number of years. When Bobby Robson came back, things started to build in the right direction again. But, you know, generally speaking, what he did is probably underestimated a little bit. We all hoped that there would be better times, but, you know, that 97 to sort of 2000 was, you know, Newcastle were down in the doldrums, really. They were at the wrong end of the table. So that whoever comes in and wants to break that record will have to be equally as committed.
Yeah, indeed. And you're totally right in what you say. You know, that commitment he showed to the club, of course, it was his club. He, boyhood supporter, he wanted to join Newcastle, but you just don't see that anymore. I mean, you mentioned Harry Kane. That's probably the example many would point to, but of course he's gone to Bayern Munich to try and win titles. It hasn't gone quite a plan so far. But we're going to now talk about Mr. Alexander Isak, because he just cannot stop scoring for Newcastle United. Got another one against Everton, a tremendous goal. Just sum up what Alexander Isak means to Newcastle United and how important he is.
Yeah, well, he's certainly the main man at the minute, and one that you need to keep fit if you've got any chance of success. I think the last couple of weeks have shown that since the international break that he has been the vocal point for Newcastle. Great goal the other night, kept his nerve for two penalties against West Ham. And they all count whether the penalties or not. We've seen them missed. And in those moments, I mean, that moment against West Ham where he's 3-1 down and he has to score. Otherwise, you know, that comeback can't happen. You know, West Ham then go on and win the game if he misses that. But he didn't. So that's what you've got. You've got this reliable striker who's got an eye for goals. I think we'd all like him to get probably a few more sort of the tap-ins, but that comes down to service, which I genuinely don't think he's had that. He's starting to get it now with Harvey Barnes back fully fit, which, you know, we spoke on this podcast a few weeks ago about him. We underlined his qualities. That was probably questioned a little bit at the time. He had a bit of stick since then, but I think the last couple of games from Harvey Barnes have shown what a great talent he is. And players like Isak will need that. So I think you've got probably one of the best strikers in European football on the books at the minute.
Yeah, indeed. And he's been linked with exit to Arsenal, but Newcastle United fans would have been very pleased to read the story you did the other day, Lee, quotes from Alexander Isak shutting down speculation, saying he's enjoying the project and basically saying he's got no desire to leave Newcastle United, which is fantastic, because there is a fear in the summer that to get a bit of a budget, they may have to sell one of their star names. But Alexander Isak, at least from those quotes, doesn't want to go anywhere, which is fantastic news. 29 goals in 59 games for Newcastle United. Another story you did earlier in the weekly, you dug out the stats. He scored every 106 minutes, which is better than Haaland and Salah. He's got a 35% conversion rate, which again is better than some of the bigger names in the Premier League. He is right up there at the top, isn't he? I mean, there's a lot of talk about him being a better all-round player than someone like Erling Haaland, who got slated by Roy Keane last week, got called a League Two player. Where do you stand on that? Is he a better all-round player than someone like Haaland, do you think?
Well, I think Haaland's level is... That is the bar being set very high. I mean, I'm baffled by those comments saying he's like a League Two player. You know, I don't understand that one bit. I mean, he is Manchester City at the minute, and you know, I think even Alexander Isak, you know, wouldn't speak so disrespectfully about Haaland at the minute. I mean, every club in the world would love Erling Haaland, so I don't entertain those kind of comments from Roy Keane. And look, for me, when we talk about all-round players, I mean, really, you actually want him to be more selfish, really. You don't want him to be an all-round player. You want him to be focused on getting goals. I mean, we know he can bring other things to the party. I mean, look at that goal against Everton last season, Jacob Murphy, when he made that unbelievable run. I mean, it was like something off a computer game. It was like something off FIFA, that run down the left-hand side and puts the ball pretty much on a plate for Jacob Murphy to sort of finish. So, look, we know that he can bring more than just goals to the table. But I think if we're being totally honest, you want what we haven't had for such a long, long time. You would love a 30-goal-a-season striker on your books. Newcastle haven't had that, you know, in this century, I don't think. It's been such a long time when you used to get like Andy Cole. I think Andy Cole got 41 in a season, didn't he? And then there was a few seasons where they got the 30s. Those strikers are, you know, not around as much these days because it is about sort of team play more. Players play up front on their own a lot more. They don't have these kind of partnerships, which we love on Tyneside as well. But, you know, let's hopefully he can get to the 20-goal mark for the first time since, I think, Alan Shearer in the Premier League is the one we're looking for first. And then, you know, after that, hopefully he can get a lot more.
Do you think, and I asked this question of Aaron on the show on Wednesday, do you think Isak could be a little more clinical? And again, people will be shouting what you want about. He's got 15 Premier League goals. He's got 19 goals this season. But I'm just talking about some of the chances that he doesn't take, especially in the kind of six-yard box. We had the one against Everton, which was cleared off the line. There was a couple of chances against Man City, another chance against West Ham. Or do you just think, you know, it's just bad luck, you know, or good luck on the defender's part that he was standing in the right place? Or is there always room for improvement when it comes to a goal scorer like Alexander Isak?
No, he's paid to miss opportunities as well, I think. I'm not sure if it's an NHL ice hockey quote, I think maybe from Wayne Gretzky, about, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't sort of take, sort of something like that. I think for me, he this season has missed chances, but you're going to miss chances at the top level. That's what that quote is all about. And for him, really, this season, you know, his goal tally stands up to anybody's. And, you know, Alan Shearer missed chances, Andy Cole missed chances, but you've got to be there to miss them. And I think if you're not getting the opportunities, if you're not missing chances, then that's when the problem starts, because then you become scared. You become scared to take it on. And I think you've got to, as long as he's getting in them positions, any striker that misses three or four chances in a game and doesn't score will tell you that that's, you know, probably not the worst thing. Of course, they want to score, but if they weren't getting into positions anymore, then that is a huge problem. So let's hope that he continues to be provided with 2, 3, 4 chances a game, and the rest will take care of itself.
I think Supermac has a similar quote to the one you mentioned there. You know, you've got to kind of shoot to miss sort of thing, or shoot to score. Yeah, he has. You know, I think his big frustration with Joe Linton back in the day was that he said he never looked confident going through on goal, and it really frustrated him. Let's talk about the other strikers that you've seen in your time, because of course the main point of this episode is to ask the question of whether Isak is the greatest striker since 2005, since you started covering Newcastle for the Chronicle. I've got a few names written down here. Obviously, we've got Callum Wilson, 46 goals in 104 games. You've had Perez before him, 48 goals in 195 games. You had Rondon for a season, Dwight Gayle, 34 goals in his time, Papé Cissé, Demba Ba, 29-57, Andy Carroll, Ober Martins, Mike Malone, I've thrown in Lovenkrantz as well. You know, we've seen some good top quality strikers in the last, what is it now, 20 years or so. Is there a name that stands out that is on the level of Isak for you?
I think Papé Cissé was what you'd call that kind of prolific striker. I mean, Andy Carroll was very much, I mean, he was a top talent for Newcastle. I mean, he got a £35 million transfer to Liverpool. And he got the goals to justify it. So you can't really, you can't knock him. But in terms of actually, you know, getting those, the poacher goals, you know, I mean, Andy Carroll was a very talented footballer. But I don't think he was, I don't even think he would class himself as a poacher. Whereas, you know, he's certainly what you would call a target man. I mean, that's probably being unkind to him because technically he was very good. His left foot was better than anyone's I've ever seen. I don't want to name drop here, but I remember interviewing the famous Italian goalkeeper, Gianluigi Buffon, World Cup winner, A-list celebrity in Italy. And I remember one of Andy Carroll's early games where it was a friendly against Juve. Buffon runs out the box. He almost took Andy Carroll's head off, basically, with his knee. Andy Carroll, tough Geordie lad, just got up, dusted himself down and went on to score in this game and somehow managed to get an interview with Buffon after the game. And he basically spoke about Andy Carroll for about 5 minutes. And I think he called him a paintbrush striker, as in he adds the final touch if you can get the service right to him. So that's what Andy Carroll's all about. Cissé, again, a scorer of spectacular goals. You know, he could score the acrobatic goals, but he was also a player that could, you know, win with a tap in when it was required. And I thought he was very good in the number nine shirt. Very kind man. Did a lot for charity in the area. We went to his house up in Ponteel and invited the media round to do interviews with him. He put on, you know, sort of Christmas events for local kids. Very, very big-hearted, kind player. So he would be one of the legends. I mean, Dwight Gayle, last player to get 20-plus goals for Newcastle. All right, he was in the Championship, but, you know, I interviewed him the other day. And, you know, before and after the interview, I looked at some of the goals he scored, some very important goals for Newcastle. I don't think he got a fair chance in the Premier League with what happened with managers. He got ended up getting loaned to West Brom. Didn't always get the opportunity, but generally, you know, he got the goals. And then, you know, after that, yeah, Demba Ba was very good for a short spell, but he decided to go to Chelsea. We had Luke Remy here as well. He was a top striker. Didn't stay long enough. So there's been a lot you could mention there. But overall, I think all of them knew if you're wearing the centre-forward shirt at Newcastle, there's expectation on your back.
Definitely. And I think for me, you mentioned they're the ones who didn't stay long enough. The likes of Luke Remy, the likes of Solomon Rondon both came on loan and had prolific single seasons with Newcastle. Rondon got 12, Remy got 14. I would love to have seen them stay longer at St. James Park. Demba Ba as well. I mean, 29 and 57 before that move to Chelsea. Him and Cissé, very good together until I think Cissé was pushed out on to the wing. But even if you look down to Ober Martins, another very eccentric striker, a scorer of great goals as well. Mike Alone, I know not everyone's favourite player, to say the least, but 30 and 79. And when he was fit and alongside Alan Shearer, you know, they weren't too bad. And Peter Lovenkrantz as well, I think we've got to mention, because him in the Championship season was absolutely electric as well, 29 and 85. So, as you say, some proper talent there. I think when you look at Isak, though, Lee, maybe one of the other frustrations is that we don't really get to see him and Callum Wilson play together. And some would say, even if both were fit, we still might not get to see them play together because they don't necessarily fit. And that leads me on to the next question, because a lot of people would say, well, actually, is Alexander Isak an out-and-out striker, or is he more to him starting out on the flank, or maybe if they were going to change the formation, starting behind a striker, say like Callum Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of supporters were probably brought up on 4-4-2 and having the two in attack. I mean, certainly remember, you know, back in the old second division days, Mick Quinn and Mark McGee, unbelievable partnership. I think Quinny got 39 goals, and you know he was the true poacher. You know, I think he once said he would knock his granny over to score or something like that. That's how much he wanted goals. I mean, he would come off the pitch with a face like thunder if he hadn't scored. Didn't matter if Newcastle had won. If he hadn't scored, he was absolutely furious. So that day, I don't know if 4-4-2 is not really in fashion now. It does seem to be about, you know, the lone striker or 4-3-3 with sort of wider players around, which is still quite a positive formation. But I think the days of partnerships don't seem to be. I mean, it might come back around again. Five at the back in the 90s was big and then disappeared and then it's come back again. So you never know. There'll always be a forward-thinking coach who can formulate something. But really, you know, the players we're mentioning here, Callum Wilson and Isak have both been very good for Newcastle. I mean, let's give Callum Wilson a big shout because he's got a lot of goals. He's chalked off a lot of people in that goal-scoring chart going up. I always talk to him about it when I interview him, and he is very close to the top. There's some big names beneath him now. So let's not underestimate what Callum Wilson's done for Newcastle, both pre and post takeover. To see them together would be, we'd all be excited about that. I think he is currently injured at the minute. Isak's been injured when Callum Wilson was fit, but some huge goals scored by both players, and it would be an exciting one. But, you know, it's got to be at the right time.
It certainly has. And we're recording this ahead of Newcastle's trip to Fulham. So Alexander Isak could have, a performance of 5 or 6 goals. You never know. So we haven't ignored that if he does, but we're just recording it ahead of time. How important is it, Lee? And Eddie Howe was asked about this after the game against Everton about trying to keep your best players. And he said, you know, I would like to, but you never know what happens in football. And then obviously, as I've mentioned, those quotes from Alexander Isak about wanting to stop. How important for what Newcastle want to achieve is it that they managed to keep him at the club?
Well, it is very important, but suddenly if Real Madrid come in with a £100 million bid, then it's difficult to keep anybody, especially if they say, I want that move. I mean, he's said that he's committed, and I believe him. I really do. But if a player gets an offer that the club can't refuse and that they can't refuse, then I think it would be difficult. Arsenal's a bit different. I don't think that's... for me, Alexander Isak is loved at Newcastle. The fans absolutely love him. He's enjoying his time here. If you go to Arsenal, then you almost can become part of it, but you're not the kind of main man. And I think here, he'll always be the main man as long as he's here. And I think that's something that he actually appreciates as well. But if one of the real big guns from Europe came in, then it might be hard to hold on to him. The plus side is that money, because of FFP, we know now will get ploughed back in and Newcastle could reinvest it. But I hope he stays for a long time.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone shares that sentiment as well. I mean, there's a lot of talk about the summer in terms of Newcastle needing another striker to come in. Listeners of the podcast know that. I think that I would love to see them go out and get it. If someone who could instantly become a first-choice striker to potentially replace Callum Wilson, because unfortunately his injury record, we don't need to go into it, but you can't rely on him to get through a full season. Isak's had his issues. Hopefully he's overcome that, although there is talk about him potentially needing some sort of operation on his groin, which has been a problem this season. Where do you stand on you know, the business in the summer? Is a striker something they need to bring in to at least offer competition to Isak and Wilson?
Yeah, I think it is. I think even if Callum Wilson and Isak both stay, I do think a third striker is required. I think that's been a bit of a problem this season. You know, when both or either of them have been on the sidelines, Newcastle haven't had that impetus. I mean, Anthony Gordon has been has played above and beyond what anybody expected this season. He's been absolutely brilliant. I think we've seen a player that can step in. He's answered those questions. But I think getting another striker on board would be big. It would get everyone excited again. I think it's need, what, however this season finishes, I think that Newcastle need a big summer signing just to get people excited again. I'm not sure that people aren't excited, but I think everyone can see this season's been a strain. You know, it was only a couple of weeks ago they were sitting in 10th place. If you can finish in a European place, great. But I think a big boost is needed around the place, and that could come in the form of a striker.
Mm. And it's just the element of competition is really important as well, because, of course, Alexander Isak wants to play first-team football, but he'll also want someone to keep him on his toes and keep pushing him to improve. And at the moment, he knows that even if he has a stinger against Fulham or Spurs the week after, he's going to start the game after that because there's no other striker to come in and replace him. And I do think the injuries Newcastle have had this season and the lack of competition that's resulted because of that, that has affected some of their performances, because it doesn't push you as much when you know there's no one to replace you. So bringing in another striker in the summer will be key to bringing that element of competition in, which will only improve Isak and Wilson.
Yeah, and especially if we end up in the realms of the Europa Conference League, I think that is a long-winded competition. I think in terms of the supporters, I think they'd welcome it. They want to play in it. I think the players would welcome it. But once you're actually in it, you'll see it's a bit like the Europa League. People who were around the club when Newcastle last in the Europa League realise what a slog it can be. I think this season, the Champions League were almost not spoiled, but it's a much more convenient competition. It's starting earlier in the week, you know, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and you can recover well from it for the weekend. But the Europa League, the first couple of games are normally fine, but there's almost a real grogginess about a team going in who played on a Thursday night. Let's say they played away in Norway or perhaps in Eastern Europe or Portugal, somewhere like that. And it's that trip back. And then it's like all of a sudden you've got one full day to prepare for a high-octane Premier League fixture against somebody who's had a week to prepare. Then it can be difficult. So just going back to your question, then you would need a player who could potentially not even travel to a Europa League or Europa Conference League game and then be fresh for the weekend game. And I think that's what, I think they'll be looking for players. If they end up in that competition, which at best it's looking like they will need players who can prepare during the week and then come in fresh at the weekend.
Yeah, to help build that squad depth, because against Everton, it was very evident, and not that anyone needed telling, but it was very evident that the lack of squad depth because of the injuries, and it's going to be a big summer. Well, Lee, let's answer then the key question. Is Alexander Isak the greatest striker in your time of covering Newcastle United?
Well, I would say he's got the greatest potential, but at the minute, I still think he's got a little bit to go in terms of, for me, I think Papi Cisse, for me, was the best I've seen in terms of ability and really frightening defences. And I think Isak in time will become the best. But at the minute, I think he's got a little bit to go. I think he'll accept it himself. But if you're asking me if there's one player that could potentially, if he stays, if he's committed, could trouble Alan Shearer's record, then if Isak stayed for another 10 years, which he could, he's young enough, then I think he could potentially trouble it. But that would take a lot of commitment and a lot of time. But he certainly made a good opening chapter. But from what I've seen so far, very good. But I think in terms of an absolute lethal goal scorer, Papi Cisse was probably the best I've seen. And the thing is, if he'd have had better service and more financial support around the club at the time, he could have gone on and got even more than he did. And I will say, I'll finish on this word, that goal against Chelsea from Cissé was probably the best I've actually seen with my own eyes at a football stadium. It was unbelievable the way he hit that. And it curled round the goalkeeper like that. A top-class goalkeeper in Petr Cech as well. So, yeah, that summed him up. And what might have been had he got even better service.
So there you have it. Let us know in the comments where you rate Alexander Isak in terms of the strikers since 2005. Plenty of names there. And it's interesting because, Lee, you've just mentioned there what could have been. And you look at this list and what could have been could be, you know, written next to quite a few of these. Callum Wilson especially, because I think if Callum Wilson's injuries had not followed him to Newcastle, we'd be quite easily talking about him breaking the 100-goal Premier League record, and he'd be sitting on a bigger tally than 46 goals for Newcastle United. But as it is, the injuries did follow him, and we're talking about him in the what could have been category. But what a fantastic debate. So many great strikers that you've seen in your time covering Newcastle United. Like I said, let us know in the comments your opinion on this debate. This has been In Conversation with Lee Ryder. And for myself and Lee, we'll see you guys next week.